Okay, let's get going here. We have a lot of information for you this hour, as usual, to cover, to think about, to review, to share, hopefully, and to question. That's what Erica and I do three times a week for you. And are you there, Erica? Welcome back.
I'm here, Jeff. Good evening.
Hi. Always good evening. What constitutes a good evening anymore? It's so damn difficult out there. And believe it, all of you out there, this is not fun work to do. But we're doing it because it's the right thing to do. And you deserve, you have a God-given right to know what's being done to you, about you, and by you, and it works all ways. It just goes back and forth, back and forth. I'm going to play a little short clip from Klaus Schwab. Now, this is 5 years ago when Herr Schwab was much thinner and maybe more to the point with his spoken prose. But this, for those of you who don't yet understand fully, and I'm sure there are very few out there who don't understand, that the world is being run by a group of people, very, very small in number, but they're now out in the open, and they really began stepping out some years ago. They're not playing games. You've all heard of the Bohemian Grove and the Council on Foreign Relations and the Trilateral Commission, right? And the Bilderberg meetings. Those are the people. They're there. And Herr Schwab has now been elevated or pushed out there. If you've seen that hideous picture of him on the beach, you won't believe your eyes. But he is the man. He is the man who is putting out the verbal prose that tells the story. Now, just take a quick listen. He's going to explain how it works in their view.
And I have to say, when I mention now names like Mrs. Merkel, even Vladimir Putin and so on, they all have been young global leaders of the World Economic Forum. Mm-hmm. But
young global leaders of the WEF, the World Economic Forum. Young global leaders, all of them. They've been accepted, they've been vetted, and they've been brought into the program. And they are the younger people running the world at the behest and the orders of these master controllers.
What we are very proud of now is the young generation, like Prime Minister Trudeau, President of Argentina and so on, that we penetrate the cabinets. So yesterday I was at a reception for Prime Minister Trudeau, and I would know that half of this cabinet, or even more half of this cabinet, are actually young global leaders of the World Economic Forum.
And that's true in Argentina, too. Wow.
Yeah.
Sorry. That's true in Argentina as well.
It's true in Argentina, and it's true in France now. Mm-hmm. I mean, with the president, with a young global leader. But what is important for me...
So there you go. Young global leaders. And this was 5 years ago. So they always tell us in advance. You haven't heard him say this lately. He doesn't refer to Trudeau and Macron as young global leaders, but that's what they are. In other words, they have been taken in, and they have been vetted, and they have been trained, and they have been deployed. It's simple. The world is run. It's not a problem by a handful of people. And the media is the key. Don't ever forget that. And in this country, only 6 corporations control the media. What do you think?
Yeah, it's obvious. It's nothing more than a propaganda machine now. And if people haven't figured that out, they're lost.
They roll these stories out. They just constantly roll them out. It's like watching an undulating, curvaceous line. The story goes this way, the stories go that way. And they're always in control, and they never cease to change the cadence and the pace. It's very mesmerizing for the people, the masses out there, who don't think about it. They don't have time. They're beset with financial problems, with fear. They've been beaten up, as you know. It's just really crazy. So That just for openers tonight, to help you understand that these people who are running the planet, a lot of people say, well, who are they? Who are they? Name them. You don't need to name them. They name themselves. They're right out there. Look at Herr Schwab. I mean, we renamed all the nasal swabs in honor of Herr Schwab. We call them Schwabs because he's got the most, one of the most, to gain. And then there's that whole level of control, the matrix, that you don't see and you will never see. And that's a fact. They're way up there and they're hidden. They have their own economy. It's not our economy. They have their own way of doing business. It's a different level. But the visible control mechanism that you see is quite real. And Herr Schwab is right there in the middle, right where he wants to be. Agree?
I agree.
Okay. Now, we have, Erica has been, she does so much research on this, and I try to stay up with her, and it's not easy. She's way on top of it, and everything we've basically been saying together, and she certainly by herself, seems to be either coming to pass or looking like a very viable, almost immediately available screenplay to run at any time they want. They've got this thing totally controlled. They know what they're doing. And we've got a new video that she found. It's called the Florona video. And tell us about that, and then I'm going to play it. It's only a couple minutes long, but it's very revealing.
Well, this is something we've speculated about for the last 6 months, ever since they introduced these injections with genetic material in them. Would it be possible to have a chimera of sorts where a flu virus could combine with a coronavirus or pick up the pieces of the genetic material and become a new virus? And anyone that knows anything about viruses knows that this is totally possible. Whether it's actually happening or not, we don't know. It doesn't help the fact that they're not really testing or distinguishing. So we're just left to guess. But it's, I don't think, a coincidence that we have many people now coming down with something that is, in some cases, severe. Maybe it's a flu. Maybe it's a chimeric flu with these, you know, the spike protein from a coronavirus in there somehow. We
grown
can throw in the
petri
adenovirus
dish.
Too.
Yes,
I mean,
grown in a
human
petri dish of a person who's been injected. Perfect.
Or a bioreactor. I mean, these people, they are performing the gain of function in live time, real time.
Yeah. Well,
because they're immune suppressed because of this technology. It's completely barbaric to their physiology. So they're walking around in an immune suppressed state being given raw genetic material from another virus that's going to be integrated into their own virome, bacterial and viral and fungal possibly, in addition to their own cells. So the sky's the limit.
And they're not afraid to go as high as they can. I think this thing, honestly, the more I watch it, and I'm not a scientist like Erica, but the more I watch this whole thing being played out, and the more she tells me about, the more that she uncovers, the more that I bumble into, I've never seen anything more diabolically diverse in the number of ways it can tear down the human physiology. And I'm not just talking about the immune system. I'm talking about the blood, the major organs of the body, especially the brain. This injection of the bioweapon has so many pathways, I guess pathways is as good a word as any, that it can take this human body and destroy it. And in the destruction of the human body, it can spread its death to other people by shedding. This is another factor. We don't know how it works exactly or how difficult it is to become shed upon to the extent that you're going to die, but there have been people who have died from being shed upon who were not vaxxed.
Yeah, yep. Even prior to that, I remember early last year, shortly after the vaccine came out, I remember one case in particular, a man, an adult man living with his elderly mother, had avoided direct contact with her for much of the pandemic, believing that he would somehow give her some the coronavirus. And he went out and he got the vaccine, and now after many months of not having close contact with his mother, you know, was able to spend some time with her, presumably in confidence, you know, believing that he was safe now and was not going to infect her with the coronavirus. Well, she ended up dying a couple days later from whatever was coming off him from the vaccine.
You see, they planned this out. I don't know who they is, and I'll always believe that there's a potential for off-planet assistance with this. Not that we couldn't do it, but I just do. And I've been told that there is that connection. But these people who take these shots, whether they die in a year or 2 or 3 years, the shots seem to be fused, so to speak. They work at different paces and in different physiologies for various reasons. Have you ever seen anything seriously in all of your studies as complex as this appears to be in terms of a man-made organism?
No, nothing like this.
Okay, you came up with a word I don't know how long ago it was. It was a while back. Twinfection. I'm not sure if you came up with it or someone else did, but you began to use it. Now, that has to do with the video I'm going to play now. The idea of being infected with two different things or one thing that came out of a body of somebody who was vaxxed. They got the flu, and it turned into a flu with what mRNA? With spike proteins? With God only knows what. In other words, it's a chimera. She calls it a chimeric flu. So this can be spread very easily. Whatever is out there now knocks people on their butts. They're out. They can't even get out of bed. And I've known a number of people personally, and I'm sure many of you listening, maybe some of you have it right now, but it is a knockout. So it's a very bad flu. And yes, the flu was here last year, 50 to 60 million cases. They simply called it COVID, put the people in the hospital, and killed them with remdesivir. The flu is here this year, but it seems to be different. What was that quote you told me earlier that somebody said that they felt like they'd... Oh, it was John O'Looney. Tell our listeners what John O'Looney said
when he first found
out he was sick. Yeah.
Yeah, he said he felt like he'd been poisoned.
Which may not be a stretch. Maybe he was.
Yeah, I keep going back to this, you know, the specter of the brucellosis, possibly contaminating the food supply. I mean, the symptoms are remarkably similar to some of the symptoms we're seeing in people right now. And they're not doing anything to...
Test
you accurately diagnose these people. It's COVID, it's COVID, it's COVID, and they're treated for COVID, nothing else.
That's right.
And it may well be a bacterial infection of some sort.
How easy would it be for them to infest the food supply, for example, with brucellosis?
Not hard at all. That's very stable in the environment. It's freeze-dried, so it could be both aerosolized or put into food. And then somebody consumes it, and there's a typical lag time, probably 2, maybe up to 4 weeks, for this stuff to incubate and start to produce its toxins that make you sick. And one of the defining features of brucellosis is fatigue, extreme fatigue.
Two primary causes of extreme fatigue are the mitochondria being interfered with or destroyed in the cell, and the blood. The red blood cells unable to carry oxygen to the cells. Either one of those or both would be catastrophic. But there's your energy, your basic energy vectors, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what could cause the red blood cells to no longer be able to pick up and carry and deliver oxygen?
Well, if we're talking about COVID, it's the coronavirus in this particular case, the spike protein can knock the iron off the heme.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And detects the heme. And now you've got heme that's not carrying oxygen, and you've got free iron floating around, causing all kinds of oxidative stress. And it becomes kind of a vicious cycle where the spike protein will also attach to the porphyrins, which are the building blocks of a new heme molecule, and your tissues become starved of oxygen.
When's the last time you heard that, dear friends, on any major media outlet? You never have. No one's talking about these things at all.
It's all a cover-up.
It's so sad because people will end up with the flu, and they get scared, and they go to the hospital, and they check themselves in, and they put them on remdesivir, and their kidneys start to fail, and the lungs start to fill with fluid, and then they're on a vent, and then they're dead. And I'm sorry if I'm being repetitive with this, but I want to drill this into you. So if you know anybody who's sick, make sure you do your best to keep them out of the hospitals. The hospitals are no longer the place you want to be at all.
No, and it seems like they're throwing anything and everything at COVID at this point. I mean, the drugs that they're pulling out of nowhere and just repurposing them, so to speak, is the sky's the limit. The monoclonal antibody for the IL-6, the interleukin-6, that's being casually given now for anybody that walks in with a diagnosis of COVID or, a positive test.
In Florida, the FDA, banned three of the four primary types of monoclonal antibodies in Florida, and that's angered a lot of people. Can you tell us what the three that were banned were that made them different than the fourth one?
Oh, okay. So the most well-known is probably that Regeneron. So those were monoclonal antibodies that targeted the spike protein, and they were generated for the early virus, the initial virus that came out of China. So if you had that version of the virus, these things would have been effective. But since we've moved past that, we're now on to this Omicron virus. These original antibodies are no longer effective, so there's no point in giving them to people. They don't work, and in some cases, they could be a detriment. And they could be a detriment if you have the flu and not coronavirus. There's something called antibody interference. So if you have a whole bunch of antibodies directed at a particular virus that you don't actually have, you may not be able to fight the virus that you do have.
So you go in, and the dumb, I'm sorry, but some of them are dumb. The doctors haven't done even a thorough reading of the literature. They just know that I've got these monoclonal antibodies, and they've made some people feel real good. So they start handing them out. They start injecting them via an IV drip. I think that's the usual procedure. And they can actually make people sicker.
Yeah.
This is crazy.
Well, it's on a par with everything else they're doing.
It's
incompetence. It's complete incompetence. So there's still one monoclonal antibody that they are using, which has nothing to do with the spike protein. This is an antibody that targets IL-6, interleukin-6, which is an inflammatory cytokine that your body makes when it's fighting infection. Now, they're rationalizing that it's good for people with COVID because in some people, the COVID gets out of control and you go into this hyperinflammatory response, and that's when the cytokine storm begins and you deteriorate very quickly. Well, that's not the majority of people. You can make a rationalization for that if the person's hospitalized, and there's some other criteria, but for the average person that's walking in with mild symptoms, I would say it's rather inappropriate, but then again, it's being dispensed as if it's completely innocuous. Now, this is a type of drug that suppresses the immune system. It's typically used for rheumatoid arthritis when everything else has failed.
This monoclonal that's still being used, the interleukin-6 version, will suppress your immune system.
Tocilizumab.
And
Tocilizumab.
You did better than I could. I wouldn't even touch that. So, tocilizumab, interleukin-6, that monoclonal antibody is still being used, at least in Florida, we don't know where else, probably other states, maybe a lot of them. But that one can suppress your immune system. Why would anyone want their immune system suppressed unless they're going into that antibody ADE?
No, you wouldn't. And the funny thing is, and John O'Looney, you know, in his, you know, debilitated state in the hospital, they were trying to get him to take this experimentally. That was one of the, in addition to remdesivir, they offered him this. And the side effects, and good for him for reading this, because most people wouldn't. Upper respiratory infection. Now, if you've just been admitted because you're having trouble breathing and you likely have an upper respiratory infection.
Honest to God, that's a side effect. Really?
Yes.
Really?
Oh. Yes. Cold sores, shingles, pneumonia, hypertension, that's high blood pressure, anxiety, insomnia, constipation. These are all side effects.
Of the version that's still being legally allowed to be used in the U.S. Okay.
Yes.
So for any of you going into a hospital, we're not doctors. It probably would be best, first of all, for you not to go in the hospital. But secondly, if you go in there, they're going to try and give you remdesivir if you're real sick, guaranteed. It's a reflex, and they make $8,000 a day just on the remdesivir they give people. $56,000 a week. Or they'll say, well, we got this monoclonal antibody for you, but they won't tell you what it does to you. It can cause upper respiratory infections. It can cause all manner of things that are not good for your immune system. So why would they do either? M-O-N-E-Y. That's it. Stay out of the hospital. Get your grandma's chicken soup. Keep yourself hydrated. And understand that if you do get seriously ill in your chest, you may have pneumonia, which is a bacterial in all likelihood. And the only symptom that I would look for in that is there's so many symptoms, you know what they are. But you want to have antibiotic treatments. There's a bacterial component in this. That's why Allicin C works so well on many of these cases. Also, Allicin C is very effective against viruses. And it'll also keep your blood thinned. It's a great product.
Mm-hmm.
But quite seriously, stay away from the hospital, please. Even if you feel like holy hell, get through it. Try it. That would be my suggestion. I don't want to speak for Erica. My suggestion. Don't go near the hospital. And I can tell you for a fact that doctors have told me this exact thing. Stay away.
Yeah.
Don't go there.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. Here's this video we'll play. It's called Flurona, F-L-U-R-O-N-A, and Should You Be Worried? Now, if you've bought into the narrative that the COVID fear porn is being somehow discontinued and they're breaking away from that, think again. This is a new video. Anything you want to say before I roll it? It's short. Thanks for finding it, by the way.
It's laughable. Go ahead.
Yeah. All right, here we go. It is laughable. Well, check this out. They got a woman, alleged physician, who speaks, and then there's about a 15-second gap, and then she'll speak again. So here we go. This is the Flurona video. A doctor breaks it down. What is Flurona?
Flurona.
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 Flurona is not even a medical term, but I think what people are referring to is someone who's infected with coronavirus and influenza at the same time. It is not a new variant of the coronavirus. In fact, it's not new at all that people can get co-infected with two viruses at the same time. In this case, coronavirus and influenza.
Erica, can you explain to me, please, how they can diagnose a corona infection?
Well, they're using the trusty PCR test, right?
Which doesn't work. And then there's the antibody do-it-yourselfer at home, or which they'll use in some of these drive-up clinics, right?
We have the rapid antigen.
Yep.
test. We've got the PCR, which they said as of December 31st is not to be used because it could not distinguish between the flu, influenza, or a coronavirus. But yet we're back to using it.
And that requires a swab, an invasive procedure in your body, in your nose. They don't go up as high, they say, as they used to, but it doesn't matter. We've seen pictures of the Schwab tip on the end of it, and it's not cotton. It's made of some kind of abrasive assemblage of little barbed-looking fibers that clearly will erode and abrade the mucous membrane. And just in case there might be something in that Schwab, it will put it in your body. Okay? So I understand that. So they got no test. And every time they do a test, they're probably inoculating people with something. We don't know what, but they're obviously using that platform, and I don't think they're going to waste it. Here we go. How common are co-infections with the flu and the coronavirus?
It's pretty uncommon to get two viruses at the same time. It's kind of like lightning striking twice, but of course, anything is possible.
Of course, anything is possible. Is it possible for the flu virus and the coronavirus to combine into one virus, which would be a chimera or a chimeric virus? We think that's quite possible because the human being who has been injected with the bioweapon becomes a perfect culture dish, a petri dish, if you will, for a flu virus and a coronavirus or whatever it is to get together and form something new.
It's certainly possible that coronavirus and flu could mix, but it just hasn't happened yet.
Excuse me.
And we know this how?
I was just going to ask that very thing. pardon me, doctor. How did you come to that determination? Oh, man. All right, I'll let you hear that again. She's assuring us with absolutely no assurance.
But it just hasn't happened yet. We are seeing, however, some people get infected with both viruses. It's absolutely not ideal to have either coronavirus or influenza, and certainly having both together is not good. But again, I'll tell my patients what I'm telling you, which is to get vaccinated against both viruses. You can absolutely get the COVID shot and the flu shot on the same day.
Good luck. Good luck, one and all, on the same day. No problem at all, Erica. Get that flu vax. Get your corona bioweapon on the same day. Same arm. No problem. Right?
Right. Right. And this is what passes for science now. You know, it's interesting because the mRNA vax are immune suppressive. I mean, that's part
that's
of how they transfect the cell. You've got to dim the immune response at the cellular level to get this stuff in there and get it read and get it translated into a protein. And you're going to give the influenza vaccine at the same time? Not smart.
What are some of the symptoms of a co-infection of the flu and coronavirus?
What's interesting is that influenza and coronavirus have many of the same presenting symptoms. So sore throat, body aches, fever, fatigue. So the main thing to do if you have any of those symptoms or if you have been exposed to somebody with those symptoms is to talk to your doctor and get a test if you're symptomatic.
And what test, pray tell, might that be? One of the two big ones that don't work? And we've had one doctor in specific tell us that they don't work. Well, we have nothing else to do. So they go through the motions of total fakery and tell people, oh, you've got corona. You've got it. You've got COVID. I don't know. I just don't know where this is.
As a matter of fact, I know somebody that was in the hospital recently for surgery that was ready to go, and they tested her with a PCR, and she came up positive for COVID, so they weren't going to let her go.
Right.
And later that day, they tested her again, and it was negative. And they tested her a third time, and it was negative. So they finally let her go. So it's hit or miss.
What if they're cranking the cycles up and down? Wonder where they're running them. I'll bet they're different everywhere. If they want more money, they'll crank them up to 35 or 40. If they want less money or to be more compassionate for some reason, they'll turn them down to 25 or 30. It's all...
I mean, they could be contaminated inadvertently,
sure,
or intentionally.
Sure.
This is, you know, to be setting policy and treatments based on this one test alone is absurd.
All right. From what you just heard in that video, they are not backing down. They are telling people to go ahead and get the flu vax. It's a quad, by the way, a quadrivalent flu vaccine. And we don't know what else is in there. But if you were out to reduce the world population and you had an ability to get another needle into 100 million people, wouldn't you take that opportunity and put whatever you wanted in there along with that quad flu vax? You bet you would. And then you've got the bioweapon itself.
And the other thing is these flu viruses, they're known as segmented viruses. In other words, their genomes are segmented. In the case of influenza, there are 8 segments pertaining to different portions of the virus and what they do. And that's why flu viruses mutate so readily, because they can exchange chunks, segments, of their genome with other viruses if they're segmented, or other influenza viruses. So now, getting a flu vaccine or having the flu at the same time as you're delivering the mRNA for a fusion protein with the influenza, it's almost guaranteeing that flu virus is going to have an opportunity to acquire the spike protein.
Wow.
As its fusion protein, or part of its fusion protein. So, and I just, they know what they're doing.
Lest we forget, all the new vaccines now are going to be predicated and based on mRNA as their basic platform. That's what they're doing.
So, I don't think the human body is going to tolerate it, or any mammalian body. It's too brutal. It's too unnatural. It's too dysregulating.
Remember, the mRNA platform ostensibly goes in and changes your DNA to begin to produce the spike protein. I'm not saying every vaccine will have the spike protein, but then again, maybe it will.
They've got to, you know, they have not succeeded in targeting these injections. They go everywhere. So wherever they go, that organ or tissue becomes transfected with the material and starts to produce this foreign protein, in this case a very toxic foreign protein, you know, at the expense of producing its own proteins, and this stuff enters into circulation and begins just regulating the entire physiology.
But they promised us that it would stay right at the site of the injection. I heard them.
Oops.
All right. Novavax. A new vaccine is about to debut next month here in the U.S. Under, of course, the EUA rubric, which is very understandable because none of them are safe. They don't want any liability either. What's Novavax?
So Novavax is a protein subunit vaccine, and it differs from the current ones because it's not asking your body to produce the spike protein. So it's not a genetic modification like that. The Novavax is only spike protein, and they grow the spike protein in a baculovirus, which is a virus that makes or that infects moths. So it's going to have insect DNA in it, likely, not intentionally, but just because it came from an insect or an insect virus.
I'll use a little insect DNA.
I'm sure they'll purify it to the best of their ability. But it's just the spike protein, and it's going to be put into a lipid carrier known as Matrix M, which portions of it come from a tree. It's a saponin from a tree called the soapbark tree. So it's I guess, somewhat natural in that regard. But the thing is, we don't really know what the antigenic potential is, if that's going to cause some kind of immune, unintentional adverse immune response, like perhaps squalene did with the anthrax vaccine. Squalene was notorious for causing lupus, or what's known as antiphospholipid syndrome, where your body just starts to attack cell membranes. And it's an autoimmune disorder that's very difficult to manage. So the Novavax will be only spike protein, and now that may sound, it's certainly better than, you know, in introducing genetic material and forcing your body to produce this foreign protein, which it may never be able to turn off. But people may have been holding out for this vaccine, but we have to remember that the spike protein all by itself is toxic. And it has biological activity all by itself. It doesn't need a whole virus attached. It's active all by itself, and it can go wherever it goes and do damage.
Right into your brain, right into your heart. And it can it can also attack your blood and your blood circulatory system. It is a spike protein, and that's what spike proteins do. And they're going to offer this up next month, Novavax?
It appears it's approaching approval right now. Or I should say authorization, EUA.
Mice cells, monoclonal antibodies grown in mice cells.
That's typically where they're getting these monoclonal antibodies for this virus. The tocilizumab is grown in humanized mice, which means it's mice that have been genetically modified, or it's transgenic mice that have a human immune system, so they produce antibodies that can be accepted and recognized by your immune system or not rejected by your immune system. But there are problems when we use mice for growing antibodies and other assorted biologics, because mice are loaded with retroviruses, and in particular gamma retroviruses, which if they become integrated into your genome, and that's what retroviruses do when they get into another host, and these will infect humans. They don't make mice sick, but they can make other mammals sick, including humans. So if they become integrated into your DNA after receiving an injection, if they're present, they'll tell you they're not present. They've been purified, but where's the proof?
Well, we could all use a few mouse retroviruses, couldn't we? Isn't that another good thing?
Mm-hmm. But these gamma retroviruses have a nasty habit of inserting themselves in the area of your genome where there are oncogenes, meaning cancer genes. So they can contribute to the formation of cancer.
How pleasant. Now, that doesn't mean we're describing the explosion of cancer now coast to coast, which is absolutely withering a lot of people. It's just killing them in a week or two or three. It's terrible what's going on. But it is another oncogenic process.
Having to do with the vaccines. There are many, many types of monoclonal antibodies used for many types of conditions. Some are used in cancer therapies. Others are used for autoimmune conditions. But it's usually, up until now, you have to weigh the risk-benefit ratio, you know, because there are risks with these treatments.
So we're going back, we're talking about right now the bioweapon, the Moderna, Pfizer, J&J, Vax, so-called Vax, which is a killer, a deadly killer. All right, now we want to move on. We've got enough time here. HIV is kind of back in the news again. I had a friend who made the mistake of going into a hospital in Florida, and he told me, he was emailing me from the ER, ICU, that he had been tested for, what was it, HIV COVID, wasn't that it?
Yeah.
HIV COVID. So they're trying to bring HIV back out, and if you do a little search online for HIV tests, you'll find all kinds of things that you can buy from Amazon and online and test yourself for the human immunodeficiency virus, HIV, which doesn't necessarily have to be around for you to end up with AIDS, which is what you're going to get if you get these bioweapon injections. You're going to get AIDS because your immune system is going to fail. That's what happens. So here's here's a quick little video with Dr. Richard Fleming talking about mad cow disease via the spike protein, which I think is important. You want to do that, or is this something you want to hold off
on? I'd like to touch on these cocktails of antiviral drugs that they're giving people now, these oral antiviral drugs.
Okay, let's go to that then, because this is important. You're talking about the oral versions.
Yeah, I'm talking about the molnupiravir, which is the one made by Merck, and then this other cocktail made by Pfizer. Paxlovid. These are being offered to people now as a prophylaxis if they've been exposed, I believe, if they think they've been exposed to COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And again, these can be very dangerous drugs, and now they're being very casually prescribed. But I would warn people that these come with side effects. I mean, the molnupiravir is what's known as a nucleoside analog, meaning it's synthetic, and it's going to act as a substitute for a nucleic acid that your body uses to build proteins. It's known to be mutagenic. Whether it contributes to cancer, but it has in animal studies, has it in people, I don't know. You want to be the guinea pig? And the other two, under the name Paxlovid, the Pfizer cocktail, are protease inhibitors. And protease inhibitors inhibit the formation of the enzyme needed to build the virus. But what else does it inhibit? Well, you can assume that it also inhibits, because it's not specific, proteins that your body wants to build. So the other dark side of this is that viruses very quickly mutate in order to evade the effects of these antivirals. So if these things are being casually and indiscriminately prescribed to people in large numbers, we can expect very shortly we're going to have more mutant forms of this SARS virus. Is that intentional?
Well, they're not going to waste again any opportunity to do what their clearly avowed goal is, and that's to reduce the world population. They've made it very clear. The Pfizer Paxlovir is a combination of two drugs, Nirmatrelvir and Ritonavir. Now, are they two different capsules or are they mixed together? We don't know yet. But that's one of the two oral anti-COVID drugs that are about to make a big scene. Merck's is the molnupiravir, and there's an article out about nine things to worry about the Merck drug. There's so many no-nos to all this. It's crazy. And then we don't want to forget to mention the fact that they are making progress and moving forward with a do-it-yourself home-administered remdesivir kit, where you get to go to the hospital and get sent home with your own remdesivir kit that you get to inhale and half kill yourself, and then have to run back to the hospital in 4 or 5 days, where they'll make damn sure you end up on a ventilator and you're gone. A home remdesivir kit. This is true. And then what we've been talking about, these two new oral pills from Pfizer and Merck, and then the home remdesivir kit. I don't think people have a chance.
No. It's scandalous. I mean, this is out of control. They are just introducing these things, and they're giving them just a free pass. Just dispense them. Dispense anything and everything. See if it works.
And what will the doctors and the nurse practitioners do? They'll be writing as fast as they can. Here, take this. Go get this filled. Take this. Take this. Inhale your remdesivir and call me in a week if you can still talk.
Well, they're denying the treatments that actually do work.
Correct.
But no, these are dangerous drugs, and don't think just because they're oral, they're just like aspirin. They're not.
Oh, my God, no. Let me tell all of you out there also that Harry Cooper is getting better, thank God. I spoke to him today once or twice. I can't remember, once at least. And he is feeling better. He was able to get up and do several hours of work. So he is coming back from whatever he had. And it's that very bad chimeric flu, we think. But whatever it is, he's gradually getting his strength back. So for all of you out there, and he did run to the hospital, and they admitted him. And I told you the story. I got on the phone with a nurse in the ICU and essentially threatened her, do not under any circumstance give this man remdesivir. Do you hear me? And they I don't think they wanted to mess with him, and they sent him home. And 24 hours later, with Allison C., he's better. He was able to work today. He said he think he worked for 4 hours, in fact. So there are things you can do. Don't rely on the men and women in the white coats to save you. You're your best physician. Unless you've got a compound fracture of your legs, then you're going to need doctors. Okay, that's what medicine here in the West is best at doing, is fixing broken things. When they start getting into pharmaceutical applications, goodbye. Goodbye. Stay away.
Yeah, they're dispensing nothing but poisons right now.
That's what it sounds like.
It is.
It doesn't sound like anything else. These are all terribly toxic and immune suppressive. And if one of the side effects of the monoclonal antibody is an upper respiratory infection, for God's sakes, when you've got a bogus COVID test, what do you think you're going to get tested for and have? They're going to tell you you've got COVID, and they're going to give you remdesivir. So stay out of the hospitals. Take care of yourselves. Duh.
Yeah, I agree. These are really dangerous places right now. Very dangerous.
We had we have more that we'll get to on Friday. HIV in the spike protein. And don't forget this Novavax. I've forgotten what you said. You said how many did you come up with a raw number on how many spike proteins were allegedly going to be in every dose of this Novavax, the injection?
No, I the only
was it a billion? I was a billion or something. But here's the deal. In any normal bioweapon injection from Pfizer or Moderna, there are at least 500 trillion mRNA packets in it. 500 trillion in each injection. All right, let's finish this up with a simple warning. Never let anyone put a needle in your body again.
Yeah. You don't know what's coming through it.
These people lie. They have created these so-called vaccines, which are antithetical to what vaccines are supposed to do. They're predicated on a whole new idea, and that's mRNA. And the spike protein is going to be in all these things, and you're going to be in real trouble real fast. No injections, no needles. And furthermore, no tests is my recommendation. I'm not speaking for Erica. Buy a sealed box of Q-tips and say, here, use one of these. I don't want your Schwab in my nose.
Yep.
And I know people who have been able to do that. They insist upon it. So keep that in mind. Anything we missed here that we want to duck in real quick?
Oh, I think we got it.
All right, very good.
That's a lot to think about.
There's a lot of information there. Listen to the program a couple times. It'll be posted later tonight or early in the morning. And share it. We'll be back Friday and do some more looking into this HIV alleged component. And do we need to worry about that regarding the causal factor of AIDS? Is it or isn't it? We'll tell you on Friday about that. Okay, thanks, Erica. Thanks very much. We'll talk soon.
Okay. My pleasure, Jeff. Good night.
And good night to all of you out there. Thanks for being here. It's a very difficult world out there. But above all, and I just went and did it the other day, I went to Costco and I bought another big box of storable food. Can't get too much? Talk tomorrow.